This is Kate Swanell for the MJA, and today our special guest is Professor Beverly Raphael, who's Professor of Psychiatry and Addiction Medicine at the Australian National University in Canberra. Welcome, Professor, and thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Kate. A pleasure.
Now, you've written a perspective piece for our 2nd of February issue on the Martin Place siege in Sydney and the consequences of that for not just survivors but for everybody watching. Is it unusual for people who are not directly connected to those involved to feel stress and anxiety afterwards?
Yes, it is, because they identify with those involved and quite often can see themselves in a similar position, and particularly with such a threat as terrorism, because for people generally it seems to be totally difficult to predict and can it happen to anybody. So it's not like something we know just happens to certain groups of people. It can happen to oneself. And I think that identification as a possibility makes people much more tuned in, anxious and aware of what it must be like for the people.
So is terrorism a different case from, say, a natural disaster like a tsunami?
Yes, it's quite different because people see it as a personal intent, malevolent intent, we say, to harm someone and maybe a specific group of people who are targeted, but it can happen to any of us, as identified, for example, in 9/11. So it's not like we know it's the bad people or the good people. It can be anybody who's affected, and it can be us as human beings.
Do you feel like there's a heightened level of anxiety in Australian society at the moment?
I think to a small degree, it's an anxiety that's around because it's actually happened here. We handled it well. Sad, there were very sad parts of this, but I think it's heightened the fact that this happening, plus all the alerts and alarms and the international situation, have made us much more tuned in to this could happen here.
Do you think people feel a bit weird about feeling so strongly when they're not actually personally involved?
I think it's less so, but a great many people identified with this sort of everyday thing that happened in the Sydney siege.
Would it be unusual for a GP to have a patient walk in and say, I don't know why I'm feeling anxious, and should GPs be aware that they should be thinking about this as some kind of, not post-traumatic stress so much, but it's connected to that kind of environment?
Yes, you don't have to have PTSD or any of those things to feel on edge and often not quite sure why, but people are tuned in to potential for something nasty to happen in their ordinary everyday lives. And that's what happened and quite often happens with an attack. It's not anticipated.
Are there simple things a GP can do when that happens?
Certainly ask someone, has anything been happening in their lives? Anything they're concerned and worried that might happen in their lives? Those sorts of things allow the patient to say, well, there's all this terrible terrorism stuff around. Now, I know we're all right, but... And then the person can unload their particular fears and anxieties.
In your article for us, you talked a lot about the way in which people have rallied around and shown support to strangers. Is that a human condition, or are Australians particularly good at it? Or
I think it's a human condition, but we are pretty good at it as well.
Yeah.
I don't know that we can say other countries aren't, but I think that we'll look after one another, a strong part of what happened on this occasion with the Sydney siege, and I think that was a great model for people to see as strong and positive in the face of such a terrible thing happening. And the fact that it was taken up so spontaneously and quickly and extensively, like we'll walk with you, for people they didn't know, is a sign that they saw them together, the connectedness, the strength, and it is a great strength across countries and across many domains. So I think perhaps we've learned through our multicultural work when it's worked well that this is an important part of who we are now.
Yeah.
Even though there's still barriers to that in some places, I think it's part of the strength of the community and the strength that we have in the event of terrorism as well. However, if the terrorist attacks directly related to a particular group, that can be very disruptive and set people a long way apart. And I think the courage people showed in the Sydney siege was that they put that aside. They didn't know exactly who it was. They suspected it might have been in a certain group, but they cut that out and supported people. walks together.
What role do you think social media is playing these days?
A very powerful role in multiple ways. It can heighten anxiety.
Mm.
It can generate fears about what might happen. And it can also operate with children to make them anxious or involved or think it's magically good to be nasty. It can do all sorts of things. On the other hand, it can be very supportive in communication and quickly getting the accurate information out. And social media is very much part of disaster alert processes, for example. And we have research we've done that shows in major natural disasters, it's often extraordinarily helpful to be able to connect and support one another.
Is there a downside to that? You mentioned children. How do we protect children when the media and the social media are so all-pervasive these days with the 24-hour news cycle?
It is, and I think one of the things that showed up in the Sydney siege and often shows up is the human contact. The face-to-face is a critical part of being reassured. There are other people maybe going through the same thing, other people who want to help, who are concerned for you.
Mm.
And in a way, that's an important thing for us to be good at and to hold as a central part of who we are. It's nice to have Facebook and all the things we can do at a distance, but eye-to-eye, face-to-face, warmth between people, concern and engagement are central parts of strength, personal strength, and how we deal with difficulties.
Is there a danger? I mean, I know Facebook, for example, can be quite shallow. Is there a danger of us seeing camaraderie and assuming it's something real on Facebook and it's really just as simple as typing in a word, you know, I'll ride with you sounds great, but you then have to act on it.
That's true, but they did act on it. That was a great scene.
Yeah.
And that gives the that bit of social media a different meaning and strength because they acted on it. They just didn't say, we'll do it. They did it. And I think it's the capacity to act, the agency, we tend to call it professionally, the agency to do something empowers you and gives you good feelings if you're able to help, to reach out, to go forward in the face of something pretty scary.
Is there a danger of us becoming desensitised as these events happen more often?
I don't think so. I think people are tuned into a range of things and in a way people become anxious and looking for the troubles.
Yeah.
Looking for the threat when it might not be there, and it makes them harder for them to relax. But you can see the Australians relaxed all right in the longer term with all the things that happened in the aftermath. People were good and supportive and concerned about what happened, but they also felt quite able to have a good Christmas, even if there was sadness, and to go on to their lives. And I think those two things have to fit together, the recognition, the sadness, the concern and support for others, really making sure you and your family and others are safe, but being unafraid. And I think keeping going in the face of threat, that courage is one of the things we commented on, and is often not recognised. The courage, the connectedness to others, a really important part of the strength as a community and for us as individuals. And you can't live in dream world either.
No.
And so we have to have a reality base, but we have to live with those realities, not let them take over our lives, but be tuned into their possibility without totally disrupting what we do or being burdened and altering who we are by that.
And I suppose it's important in terms of terrorism to take positives away from our reactions to them rather than let the fear get to us.
But it is an important thing to do. I think in a far more powerful way, the French saying we're not giving in. I'm not speaking specifically to the particular repeat of the picture, but I'm talking about their sense we're not giving in to this.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important for us all because the giving in to it helps those things grow. And it's really important that we have the courage, as is well demonstrated at the time of this incident in Sydney, the siege. People had courage. They kept going. They didn't give up.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of not just to say, but most people, and we have to stick to that, being giving up because something bad might happen diminishes our lives, diminishes our capacity for getting on with our lives and valuing life itself.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much for getting in touch.